Oh, baby. Oh, baby. We might be soon in some trouble around here. Niners lose a game they have no business losing yesterday to the L.A. Rams. The Rams now have life. They get their first win of the season. The Niners drop the 1-2. And look, we'll discuss Brock Purdy's brilliant play. I thought maybe it was his best game as a professional quarterback. Brock Purdy was simply amazing. Juwan Jennings equally as great yesterday. But outside of that, there's a lot to pick apart today. And we're not going to play the blame game. We're going to talk about what went wrong. And a lot went wrong yesterday down at SoFi Stadium. We'll get into it. 888-957-9570 is the number. Good morning to all the truck drivers, all the overnight dancers, all the janitors, cops, all the baristas, everybody who had to suffer through what happened yesterday at SoFi Stadium. The Niners lose their second straight game, and they lose to the L.A. Rams, a team that had no Puka Nacua, no Cooper Kupp, half an offensive line, all kind of defenders out, Shasky. And they steal a game they have no business winning. No business winning. I'm befuddled right now on what happened yesterday at SoFi Stadium. I still can't believe they lost. Like, they lost that game? They lost that game with the way Purdy played? Wow.
When you don't finish teams off when they're hanging on the ropes and you allow them to hang around, this is what happens. It does feel like even the greatest Niner teams, the best ones of the last 25 years, they lose this game once or twice a year. The disgusting, should have won, had opportunities to go up three scores over and over and over again. And then you look back and you're like, you let them hang around and then just gas across the board. I mean, just across the board. Got away from the run game because of the way the game was being played in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Critical drops that you look back at and seem worse and worse and worse given where you were in the game. Situational breakdowns when it comes to individual performance on the offensive line. I don't know if you know this. Trent Williams, you know how like Debo Samuel Sr.? Trent Williams should put Trent Williams the fourth on the back of his name because he's now Trent Williams IV. I mean, it's like every single week, this guy's going in for an IV. No, I'm dead serious. This is ridiculous.
Did you like that?
All these people, practice. He's going to be fine. It's big Trent. I don't ever want to hear ever again. And we're not going to go deep into it. I never again want to hear that practice and holdouts and all that stuff doesn't matter. We're seeing it play out year after year. Yes, the team can overcome it and have a great start, but these guys they've not been ready to go, period. And then I look at Ronnie Bell dropping those balls the way he did. The defense-specific personnel, Isaac Yiddum, they're throwing at Isaac Yiddum all day, every day. A horrific penalty for 50-something yards. We're 48 yards down the field, just giving them life. Tutu Atwell playing juggles with the ball, making play after play after play.
What did Mark Sanchez say? Two catch, Tutu? Two catch, Tutu. I like that.
Devondre Campbell, get off my field. I mean, Javon Hargrave made one play. That was it. Leonard Floyd dropping back in coverage. I don't know why. That's the only play he made all day outside of a hands to the face penalty. Pass rush non-existent in the fourth quarter. And Matthew Stafford's arm talent is unbelievable. The guy makes, you talked about this last week. I could just go on and on and on. Clock management. He made multiple deep throws that were incompletes that to me were like, oh my God, it's the threat of throwing deep. Now, obviously, he connected multiple times on deep throws. He throws an out route that just whizzed by one of our defenders. Dominic Flanagan fouls getting tackled by air on a screen pass. Again, it's again called back. Our linebacker play, the drop-off without Dre Greenlaw is dramatic.
I thought yesterday, you could feel the spirit and energy of Dre Greenlaw being missed.
Totally agree.
Not necessarily his play, but maybe his play too. But his spirit and his energy, the tone setter. The Niners defense it felt like they played a bit soft yesterday. Fred Warner didn't have the game that we saw last week against Minnesota, but it's a lot to ask. He's got all kind of assignments here. I got no problems with Fred. But Isaac Yiddum got cooked. Charvarius Ward did not look right. He did not look right after missing 2 days of practice. George Kittle being out obviously affected the 49ers pass game. But yesterday's game's going to overlook what should be a better day for Brock Purdy and Juwan Jennings. We know we have a quarterback. I mean, Brock Purdy just plays sensational football. Sensational football. I didn't count one 0-0 throw yesterday. Not one 0-0 throw. He was unbelievable. Now, he had a couple deep shots, and you could say the second to last drive of the game where Ayuk is running down the field wide open. You wish he pulled the trigger on there, but I'm nitpicking here. He threw balls. He put the team in a position to win the football game. And Ronnie Bell dropping that pass with Shanahan staring at it, throwing his hands up like, what else can I do? What else can I do? He called a great, and like even Shanahan for that matter, offensively, I thought Shanahan, for the most part, called a really good game. Oh, I really did. I thought he controlled the game for the most part. I thought he was brilliant, but you got to make plays to put teams away. When you don't stop a fake punt on 4th and 6, and the Rams have no life.
I thought of Jeff Fisher. The minute he did it, I thought of Jeff Fisher, because it was one of those moments. They're at the 45. It's like 3rd and 6 or whatever, and they're on the ropes. It's 14-0. There's about 6 minutes to go. I got so many highlights. But like 6 minutes to go in the second quarter, they're dead in the water. Well, Stafford's got like 2 completions at that point.
Well, it's 4th and 6, 6:20 left, and Roddy Rivers scampers around the edge for 7 yards, so you don't have outside containment. Once again, you blow the outside containment, and that drive got the Rams, gave them life. Down 14-0.
Did you see his sidelines?
They go to 16-play, 87-yard drive, aided by that fake punt, and they eat 7 minutes and 46 seconds left. Seven minutes and 46 seconds off the clock. Shasky, the Niners ran 9 total plays in the second quarter. 9 total plays, and the momentum got stolen because you get a sack fumble there by Colt McKivitz, not making a block there by Brian Young. Brian Young comes around the edge. He strips. The Niners are going to go up at least 17-7 in that situation. At least. You get stripped for the fumble. Now the Rams go to halftime knowing that we're going to get the ball, even though they didn't do anything at the beginning of the third quarter. But you're up 14-7, and I'm looking around thinking, this should be a 21-7 game minimum.
I know. Well, the 2 plays prior, Trent goes down on the play Purdy scrambles.
For the IV.
And Jalen Moore comes in, okay? And like, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And on the first play, Jalen Moore gets thrown back like 4 or 5 yards. You'll notice it when you watch it back on replay, people. And I'm saying to myself, oh boy, they're flirting with danger here. And then it's Colt McKivitz on the other side. And it's one of those situations where you got to get points there. You needed something to get the momentum back. The Rams are getting the ball to start the other half, and they got the stop to start it off. There were so many little plays in this game where there were certain specific things that drove me absolutely crazy. So, case in point, 21-14, okay? The Niners march down. They have to answer. I needed 6 there. They get down into the goal line. It's 3rd and 1, all right? 3rd and 1. It's a short yardage situation. You take Ayuk and Jennings off the field. All right. Now, I want to know more. Why did they come off the field? Were they tired? Was it a specific package? You go Braden Willis, okay? I mean, again, Braden Willis. If I pulled 100 Niner fans, I mean, how many know who Braden Willis is? And Chris Connolly, and you watch the Rams.
Don't underestimate Niner fans. They know who's on the practice squad.
Okay, you get my point.
Yeah, I hear you.
They come flying up knowing there's no way in hell they're running a play action. There's no way in hell there's a threat of a pass here. And they stuff Jordan Mason right there, and they only get the 3 points. Goal. And like at the time, you're thinking, 10 points is enough. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Well, it should have been. It should have been. Against that team, it should have been. You have a 10-point lead. You cannot blow that.
And it's another double. But the defense hasn't proved that they can stop the run, and they haven't proved that they can stop the pass.
No, they haven't. But, I mean, the first play right after that drive, they go 15 yards to Kyron Williams to start their drive. It kickstart everything, but you still hold them to a field goal. You still hold them to a field goal. Now, the 3rd and 1 play, the 3rd and 1 play where you go left tackle, you're going to run behind Big Trent. Everybody knows you're running behind Big Trent. Gives Shula some credit there for the defensive lineman. Covering every single gap and said, we're going to have our linebacker one-on-one. He's going to shoot this gap, and we're going to stuff Jordan Mason. Now,
it's predictable.
In real time, I didn't have a big issue with the play call. Now, on the flip side, you could say, well, maybe you run some boot. Maybe you run some play action. You keep the ball at Brock Purdy's hands. The personnel may not have been favorable, but it's 1 yard. And you're the San Francisco 49ers, and you're a running team, and you maul dudes. And for the most part yesterday, Jordan Mason was mauling dudes. You got to pick up the first down.
But you can't. I hear you, and I'm picking one part away. I hate when you take playmakers off the field, even if you know you're not going to throw to them. They need to be out there to create space.
No, I get it.
And it drives me absolutely crazy. And then, I mean, Ronnie Bell, catch the ball. I mean, you know, and look, the Moody field goal, we can lose our minds about the Moody field goal late. 55 yards is difficult. I mean, it just is.
First miss of the season.
I'm not going to crush the guy, but the reality is that He is a part of a variety of losses. I'm not saying he's the main reason, but he is a part of a variety of losses. Whoa. Now, did Robbie Gould have the leg to go 55? No, he didn't in the last couple of years. He was not good from 50 plus. Yep. But you drafted this guy with a premium pick in the third round to make those kinds of kicks, and it just sucks.
Those kicks before. He made 250 plus yard field goals in the Super Bowl.
But he also missed an extra
point. He was perfect. He was perfect yesterday going into that last kick. Now it's tough. You got a chance to ice the game. It stays left. And you missed the damn kick. But how about when you do have a final drive and Roddy Bell drops it, you punt it, and you give up Xavier Smith making his first punt return, and you give up a big punt return when the Rams are saying, oh my gosh, we're 15 yards away from being in field goal range to win the football game. Special teams have not been special this year. And I'll put this out there. Because I see a lot of heat for Kyle Shanahan. For the first time under Kyle Shanahan, I'm wondering if losing all of his assistant coaches and all these GMs and all these play callers and all these other coaches is starting to catch up to him. Because you got a rookie defensive coordinator who seems to be a bit overwhelmed right now with Nick Sorensen. That's a conversation I've told you we're going to have soon. Nick Sorensen and that defense looks pretty predictable. McVay did whatever the hell he wanted to do in the second half. Rams did whatever they wanted to do. Clean pockets, clean passing windows, you name it. They did whatever they wanted to do. Special teams coordinator, what's going on? What's going on with the quarterback coaches? What's going on with the wide receiver coaches? There's just a lot going on here. Little things that should be buttoned up where you look at the Chiefs and you look at the Eagles and you look at the other top teams in Detroit. They're buttoned up in a way where they mean business. Right now, the Niners, it still feels like they're in training camp mode.
Monte, you're paying... Okay, Javon Hargrave makes 20-something million a year. Nick Bosa makes 30-something million a year. You get zero pass rush in the second half. Like, don't get me wrong. The corner play is not good at all. You give up 48 yards on a free penalty. I mean, like, that's, I don't care who's pass rushing. You can have Lawrence Taylor on one side and Reggie White on the other. Like, you can't do that. But, like, can the pass rush get home once in a blue moon?
I don't even think they played the run well.
Last time the Niners had a free release rusher? Yeah.
Well,
a schematic advantage.
Well, I don't even know, like, in terms of just controlling the line of scrimmage. Controlling the line of scrimmage. I thought the Rams in the second half controlled the line of scrimmage.
He ran the ball down our throat.
Kyra Williams just, oh my gosh, he just ran the ball down and traded Matt Stafford. Give him credit. He balled out yesterday. He had clean pockets. The Rams were down and out. It was 14-0, and you have a chance to go up 21-0 or 17-0. And all game long, I'm telling you, you remember this game because I know you're a sicko like me. 1988, they lost a game to the Phoenix Cardinals. They were up 23-0. 23-0, and they lost that game. And I'll never forget that game as a kid. And it was just like, why is this a game? Why are they still in it? I was getting the same thoughts yesterday where even in the fourth quarter, Shask, I wasn't stressed because I'm thinking, Harris are in control.
No,
what is going on here? You have no business losing this football game. And the momentum kept slipping and slipping and slipping and slipping despite a banner day from Brock Purdy, despite some great scrambling, despite Juwan Jennings playing big like a number one receiver. He made some history yesterday. We'll get into that a little bit later. But he didn't even want to talk to the media after the game.
I don't blame him.
He was over it.
Bonte, Purdy was outstanding, as you referenced. But, okay, this is not the main reason why they lost. This is not the main reason. But again, timeouts, clock management, certain situations.
Did you have an issue with clock management?
Okay. He calls a timeout on the second down. Shanahan does. There's like a minute 53 or whatever it was, a minute whatever left the game. Peyton Manning's talked about this forever. If they're going to tie the game and you're going to get the ball back, if that team is marching down, you really only need like 30 or 40 yards, okay? Right? Because you're going to get the ball to 30, right? You only need about 40 seconds with no timeouts, okay? When you call timeout and you give more than a minute, minute and a half, you're also running the risk of, hey, if we get stopped and we have to punt because it's a tie game, you're not chasing. Yeah. It's not four down territory. There is the opportunity that you could go three and out at some point and you give it back to him. You cannot, in a tie game scenario, leave time on the clock to give it to the other team to give them an opportunity. Now, look, You dialed up a play where Ronnie Bell's got to catch it, right? So it goes both ways. It's not the end all be all. But again, you didn't need to call the timeout. Yeah. Let the 30 seconds lick down. You had two timeouts.
I'm going to respectfully disagree.
Clock management year after year.
But listen, I'm going to respectfully. I get that. But in real time, I thought, I'm not mad at the timeout because I do want to preserve some clock. I don't have premium players out there. I know Juwan is having a great day, but I want to be able to have the time in my favor. So when I do, if Ronnie Bell does catch the pass, now the clock's gone. I got control of the game because the Rams had one timeout at that point. They didn't have time. They burnt two timeouts, remember? They were done. So in that situation, calling the timeout on the second down, I wasn't as outraged as everybody else was about it because I was thinking the same thing.
It's second and goal.
Yeah, but if the Rams run the kid and you let the clock run, then the Rams are saying, you know what? Oh, you're not going to call a timeout? We're going to drain this clock. And even if we don't score on third
down. You could have used one later.
No, I hear that.
If you get under a minute, you're in complete control. At minimum, you've got the ball and you could throw over the middle and you could still clock it. You still have another timeout available. Like, it was an unnecessary stoppage. He's going to look back at that. Even McVay yelled at Stafford, why are you burning the timeout on the delay of game penalty? He has learned from his mistakes. He looked at Stafford like, what are you doing? You've been doing this for too long.
It's 2 minutes left. The Rams have one timeout. I get it. I understand.
I would never have burned that timeout. I hated that.
I wanted to have real time because I've seen the Niners in their 2 minute drill situation where they lack urgency at times in their 2 minute drills. They lack the downfield passing attack in certain situations as a 2 minute drill. So I wanted the clock in my favor. I just wanted a chance to get the ball back because there was a situation where if the Rams do not, say if they go to fourth down and they run it out third down, and all of a sudden the clock is all the way down under 30 seconds, right? And now you're playing for a fourth
down. They score, it's a tie game. So at minimum, you're going to overtime. You're not giving the ball back to the other team.
I wanted a chance to get a ball to go win the game.
Of course, 30 seconds is two plays. It's not 1971.
Not with this team in their drop back pass game.
We talked about deep balls yesterday.
They ripped deep balls with Juwan Jennings, but not at the end of the game, and they still had a chance to control the game. I disagree with that. I understood the situation. The blow a timeout right there.
They way too much time on the clock.
Well, you know what? You gave a big-ass punt return back, which blew it right there. You gave a punt return. When you put the ball, you pinned him inside the 20-yard line.
All I kept thinking was Peyton Manning and Bill Belichick. You cannot give the ball back to the opponent at any scenario
they were
going to
score, Shasky. I wanted a chance to win a game of regulation.
Of course.
They were going to score regardless.
But you also have to minimize the opportunity touching it.
I did not want to take a chance in overtime. And, oh, by the way, this thought also came into my head in that situation. If they do tie it and you don't blow timeouts and there's less than 30 seconds left, what if they decide to go for two and steal the game right then and there?
You still have plenty of time to get a field goal.
I didn't trust it.
You're going to get the ball at the 30.
I didn't like it. One pass, walk up, spike it, and then another pass,
and bang, you're in field goal position. This isn't 1979. This is 2024.
Teams march down.
Mahomes has talked about it. Belichick has talked about it. You really only need, with no timeouts, 30 to 40 seconds.
That's the modern NFL. But you know what, though? I wasn't mad at it because on 3rd and 10 with a minute 2 left, second and 10 with a minute 8 left, Purdy throws an absolute dime to Ronnie Bell.